7BR Part Heard.
Hello, and welcome to 7BR's Part Heard, the podcast that traverses the legal landscape, examining issues across multiple practice areas, guided by the diverse expertise of our members. I'm Rhys Palmer, Chambers Paralegal. We're joined today by 7BR member Kitty Geddes, who is here to discuss the High Court Family Division judgment in the case of M against D. Kitty has developed a broad practice spanning from offshore financial crime to family and court of protection matters. Within her family practice, Kitty has represented local authorities, guardians, and parents, including vulnerable adults and children in matters of sexual abuse and neglect. She has also represented parties in forced marriage protection orders. Kitty, welcome to the podcast.
Morning, Rhys, and thank you very much.
Thank you for coming on today. It's been a while since you've been on the podcast. As I said earlier, we're here to discuss this case, M against D. It's a family matter. As always, could you just give us a bit of a background to the matter and the appeal that ended up in the High Court?
Yeah, of course. This was an appeal that was brought by the applicant in a non-molestation order application that had been made in front of a DJ in Manchester. In short, the applicant at first instance wanted a non-molestation order against her step-nephew. And the non-molestation order was refused by the DJ for want of jurisdiction. So in short, the DJ said, look, I can't make this order because I don't have the jurisdiction to make it because your step-nephew isn't an associated person according to the Family Law Act. So the applicant then appealed that decision and it was heard before Mr. Justice McDonald earlier this year. And the reason that he wanted to hear the appeal is because he believed that it brought about an important point of law which needed to be determined. So specifically, what is or who is an associated person according to the Family Law Act?
Now, before we get into the point on associated persons, could you just explain what a non-molestation order is and how and why they're obtained?
Yeah, of course. A non-molestation order is an order that's made under Section 42 of the Family Law Act, which, when made, protects the applicant from being abused or threatened by another person. And these are orders that can be made ex parte. So that means that they can be made without the respondent being informed that such an order is going to be made, because there's a risk in some cases that if the respondent were informed, then their behaviour may become more extreme in advance of that order being made. So they're emergency protective orders or injunctions which the family court can grant.
So it's about a non-molestation order, but that wasn't the main crux of this issue. That was to do with associated persons, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. So I think on the facts of this case, a non-molestation order, had the respondent been considered an associated person, could certainly have been granted. You had behaviours which were being demonstrated by the step-nephew, which are behaviours which would normally warrant a non-molestation order. So things like death threats, both via social media and in person. And that kind of behaviour is precisely the kind of behaviour which a non-molestation order is designed to protect an applicant from. However, in this case, the decision wasn't based on the facts of the behaviour. It was based on the nature of the respondent, as it were. So in essence, the Family Law Act is very prescriptive as to who is considered an associated person. And that's set out in two separate sections of the Act. So we've got Section 62, which sets out who an associated person is. So as an example, under that section, if you've cohabited with somebody or if somebody is a relative, they would be considered an associated person. But of course, we've got to drill down another level and have a look at what a relative might mean, because that can have a very wide meaning. And the Act is actually quite narrow in its interpretation of what relative means. So then we look at Section 63, and Section 63 1A gives a list of who it considers to be relatives. And they include, as you might expect, a father, mother, stepfather, stepmother, son, daughter, stepson, stepdaughter, grandmother, grandfather, etc. And the list goes on. And then you get a separate section which looks at further individuals who might be considered relatives. And that's brother, sister, uncle, aunt, niece, nephew. So it seems, and this is certainly what was one basis on which the appeal judge made his decision, that the Act splits relatives into two sections. So those that the judge referred to as lineal relatives and those that he referred to as collateral relatives. So looking at the lineal relatives, that those are the ones that are found in section 63(1)(a). So if you imagine a family tree with a line going straight down the middle, they are grandfather or grandmother, son or daughter, grandson or granddaughter, and it goes on like that. And then if you look at the sort of sideways relatives or the collateral relatives, they are brother, sister, uncle, aunt, niece, nephew, first cousin. So it's those relations that, in a way, if you look at a family tree, go out to the side rather than up and down. So that's what the judge was focusing on in this point of the appeal. Really, can a step-nephew or should a step-nephew fall under the definition of associated person or under the definition of relative? And Reece, sorry, I think I'm slightly guessing as to what your next question is going to be, but the result of the appeal, if I can just go on to that, is that it was unsuccessful. So the judge decided that step-nephew couldn't be read, even if you were to read the Act, construing it purposively, which is what the appellant was asking him to do, that step-nephew cannot be read as falling under the associated person or relative. And the reasoning that the judge provided for this was that it was plain on the face of the statute that step-nephews were not expressly provided for under Section 63(1), but other step-relatives were expressly listed. And also, the judge drew this distinction, as I've already referenced, between those lineal relationships and those collateral relationships. So the Parliament, he believed, intended to include stepfamily of a lineal descent, but not of a collateral descent. So in that sense, stepmother, stepfather, yes, they fall into associated person or relative, but stepnephew, etc. So those collateral relationships, which I described earlier, do not. And the judge examined parliamentary materials in order to reach this decision. So he looked at Hansard. And within Hansard, it was clear that Parliament was concerned with the degree of proximity, of familial proximity, that would allow somebody to fall into associated persons. And Parliament had decided there was a need for those categories to be confined. So the judge says in his judgment, you know, that's the reason why we see first cousins specified within the Act. You don't simply have the word cousin, because the idea is that if you were just to include very broad terms in those lists of relatives, then in effect, you could keep including family members ad nauseam, because it can go wider and wider and wider. In a way, we can determine a relationship with almost, you know, with a very wide group of people. And he didn't believe that that is what Parliament intended to do. So that's what the judge decided in this case. Interestingly, or perhaps importantly, he did raise that, of course, a non-molestation order isn't the only injunctive relief or the only injunction that an individual can apply for when they want to stop a certain type of behaviour, or they want to be protected from a certain type of behaviour. There are other civil remedies, including the Protection from Harassment Act 1997, which also offers a remedy for those who don't fall under the remit or within the jurisdiction of the Non-Molestation Act. So that, in a nutshell, is what the case decided.
Thank you, Kitty. It's been a pleasure having you on and giving us a nice overview to a very different case that we have on the podcast. Thank you to our listeners. We hope you enjoyed this week's episode of Part Heard. To hear more like this, you can find all our episodes on Chamber's website and other major streaming platforms such as Apple Music, SoundCloud, and Spotify. Until next week, thank you and goodbye.